It's Scott and Troy from Who Cares About Men's Health. We're taking a short break. We will be back soon with some brand new episodes, but in the meantime, we wanted to share some of our favorite episodes with you. And this was our at-home genetic test episode. Troy, what'd you think of this one?
This was a fun one. I think we were able to really get into some of the weeds here in terms of just like, okay, this is the good, this is the bad of genetic testing. And Matt was excellent. It was fun to have him on there, fun to hear about his insights and his interest in having the test done.
Yep. It's just not a fun thing you do at Christmas. There are actually a lot of other possible repercussions, and you should go in eyes wide open. And our genetic counselor really helped us understand that as well. So here you go. Check it out. At-home genetic testing. Listen before you spit with our guest, Karen Dent, and listener Matt.
And along those lines, we've talked about people realizing that maybe dad isn't dad.
So that was my last point.
That's the real downer.
All right. Welcome to Who Cares About Men's Health, giving you the information and inspiration to take health matters into your own hands. My name is Scott Singpil. I am the senior producer of thescoperadio.com, and I care about men's health.
And I'm Dr. Troy Madsen. I'm an emergency physician at the University of Utah, and I care about men's health.
And my name is Karen Dent. I'm a genetic counselor here at the University of Utah, and I care about men's health.
And I'm Matt. I'm a student, and I care about men's health.
Matt, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Thank you, Matt. This is great.
We're very excited about this. Matt is our winner for our direct consumer genetic test giveaway. We called it the Who Cares About Your DNA giveaway.
Nice.
Matt entered online, and we're going to have a conversation with Matt, find out why he wanted to do this test, and then we're going to bring Karen in to talk about some of the other issues one might consider. Now, Matt, I don't know if you knew this or not, but I won, or actually got two of these tests for Christmas.
Oh, okay. That's awesome.
Yeah, I was a little on the fence whether I wanted to do it. Troy was absolutely...
He offered it to me first. I turned him down. So I'm glad you took this, Matt. I didn't want it. I'm coming from the other's perspective. I just didn't want to know.
Producer Mitch, who's in the studio, he's already had it done. Although during the past few weeks when we've been kind of exploring these tests more... he's really starting to wonder if he should have got it. So this is going to be the weirdest contest you've ever been involved in, I can guarantee, because we're essentially going to try to talk you out of your prize now.
This is like being drafted for war or something. You think it's this great prize you won, and you're like, wait, what have I gotten myself into?
Incidentally, if you decide not to take the test after the information you get, we will give you a prize of equal value. So you will not walk away empty-handed. But ultimately, at the end of this episode, we are going to ask you, do you still want to take this test? So are you ready to go down this path?
I'm ready.
All right.
So I'm just curious what this prize of equal value is. Like, we brought some old running shoes into the studio today. Are we going to ship these to Matt now or something?
I have no idea. Okay. because this whole thing, this has been a journey for even us at the podcast.
Yeah.
Because the genetic tests are really kind of marketed as these fun things to find out your ancestry. And
right.
Oh, by the way, you can get some health information. And then you start reading the terms of service and you start kind of educating yourself and you realize there's a lot more involved than that.
Yeah.
Than the 30-second commercial on TV would have you to believe.
Exactly.
So Matt, tell us why you wanted to win this genetics test. What was your reasoning?
Yeah, I guess I'm just most interested in finding out what my genetics will tell me about any conditions that I may have or conditions that I would possibly pass on to my children.
And you have kids, Matt?
I have one daughter and then a little boy on the way.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So, I mean, it makes sense. You want to know, and you know, it's not just about you. It's about your family and
right.
Potentially what they need to look out for. So it makes sense.
I think a lot of people get these tests with that in mind.
Sure.
So we will definitely address if like this test can help, you know, achieve that goal for you. I do have a question. Have you ever read the terms of service for any of these direct to consumer genetics tests?
No, that I haven't.
Okay. Neither had I. And when I did,
and now I'm a little bit nervous.
Yeah. All right. So here is just an excerpt from one of them. Once you obtain genetic information, the knowledge is irrevocable. You should not assume that any information we may be able to provide you, whether now or as genetic research advances, will be welcome or positive. You may learn information about yourself that you do not anticipate. This information may evoke strong emotions and has the potential to alter your life and worldview. You may discover things about yourself that trouble you and that you might not have the ability to control or change. Wow.
That's pretty deep. That's pretty heavy stuff there.
Yeah. These outcomes could have social, legal, or economic implications. What's your take on what I just read you?
Oh, that's just pretty heavy. That's, yeah, I mean, just through my own armchair research, I guess I've looked into the kind of things that it could possibly tell me. And yeah, I guess I just didn't really think about what that meant.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't either, right? I was in this journey as well, and I'm still kind of on the fence whether or not I'll do it. So the first thing I want to, and I'm going to give you an opportunity to talk to Karen, but one of the first things I want to ask Karen is the terms of service in many of these direct-to-consumer genetic tests say that you should go see a genetic counselor before you take it, after you get your results, you should go see one. And they mention that numerous times. Why is that?
So, Matt, what we really think about is our goal as genetic counselors is really to help people understand the medical, familial, and psychosocial implications of genetic data and the contributions to their health. And right. One of the reasons we want to meet with people ahead of time is to really review all of those things that Scott just talked to you about. Once you receive genetic testing results or genetic knowledge, it's not going to disappear. Like, you won't ever forget it.
Right.
You know, it's always going to be there. You can't unknow something. And it's important to think about your rights as a patient and consumer, which are you have the right to not know some information as well as the right to know some information. So one of the things that genetic counselors try to do is meet with families or individuals before they pursue this type of testing to make sure they're fully informed about the limitations, the benefits, the risks associated with that testing.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so.
Good. We're not trying to totally scare you.
It is scary.
We just want you to be informed.
Yeah,
right.
That is the ultimate goal. So given what Matt wants to learn, will the genetic test fulfill that for him?
Well, and so that's a really good question. And what you're going to learn is going to, it depends on what the test offers and what the test is actually testing for. And so if you are wondering, is there any genetic condition in your family or in you for which your children might be at risk or your children's children, there's limited information on that because the test is only, well, I don't know what company we're doing the testing from, and that's on purpose because we didn't want to endorse any one company over another. So I don't know the limitations specifically of the test kit that you've won. But I think it's important to think about or to review this testing data specifically to see if there's a category of conditions you're particularly concerned about. Do they cover that? Do they not? Why or why not? So okay. It can give you some information, but I don't know if it's going to give you everything you want. Do you have something specific in mind?
Again, like the little research that I did, I discovered that you could, you know, maybe find out about Parkinson's disease, predisposition to obesity, or I don't know. Yeah. Again, like, I don't know what other things I'm missing that, you know, maybe are more obvious, but those are just some of the ones that stick out to me that I remember reading about.
And that's great. I mean, those are complex conditions that, you know, are a lot of them are adult onset. So you're thinking about your own future and are those things that could be passed on. So some of the limitations of this type of testing is some of those conditions that you mentioned, like Parkinson's, I don't think you mentioned diabetes, but obesity, some of those have genetic and environmental contributions. And of course, this test is only going to look at some of the genetic contributions. We don't even know if all of them, and there's no way that we could measure the environmental contributions to interpret your potential risk for those conditions. So it gives you an assessment, but it's not a real black or white answer to your potential to develop those conditions.
Do you find that when patients come in, they are under the impression that it is black and white, that this is an all comprehensive test?
I think so. And I think that the companies sometimes do a little bit of that on purpose. I hope that's okay to say, because they're marketing these tests as an idea to help you improve your own health, improve your own healthcare, manage your healthcare. And what they don't tell you necessarily are always the limitations of that. So they can test all the genetic factors that we know currently that are associated with bipolar disease, obesity, but there's probably many others that we don't know about. So
in the terms of service under disease, it says for most common diseases, the genes we know about are only responsible for a small fraction of the risk.
Right.
Mirroring exactly what you said. There may be unknown genes, environmental factors, or lifestyle choices that are far more important predictors. If your data indicate that you are not at elevated genetic risk for a particular disease or condition, you should not feel that you are protected. The opposite is also true. If data indicate you are at an elevated risk genetically for a particular disease, it does not mean you will definitely develop that disease or condition.
That's very correct. And one thing that I like to tell everybody that I meet with, patients, clients, friends, you know, your genetics are not your destiny. You know, so even if this came back and it told you, yes, you have an increased risk or there's an increased association with obesity based upon the genetic factors that you have, remember that's only a small subset of the genetic contributions that we know currently contributing to obesity. Oh, go ahead.
And I guess that's been the hard thing for me too. It seems like the only news you can get from these genetic tests is bad news, because it either tells you, yes, you have this gene, but if it doesn't say you have that gene, it doesn't mean you're, I mean, this is a lot of double negatives here, but you still right. may be predisposed to that condition, because
exactly.
you said it's only identifying a small number of genetic markers for
right.
something that's very complex.
Right. But and if you go into it knowing that there's limitations to this data, you know, that this is not going to guide your healthcare plan, that this is something interesting. We do sometimes use the term recreational genomics. Some people object to that depending on the reason that they're pursuing the testing.
Recreational genomics, I like it.
It doesn't apply for everyone. But if you go into understanding that there's limitations to this, it can be fine to pursue. But again, as Troy said, you don't want to stop doing regular healthcare screening. So for example, if this came back and said, oh, you have a decreased risk for prostate cancer, we would still suggest you go to your physician and have your annual screenings for prostate cancer. I don't know how old you are, Matt, so that might be not on the screen yet, but that's just one idea.
And I guess, you know, so Mitch was very open with us about his results on his genetic test, and he told us he had a predisposition to Alzheimer's disease. You know, which is a tough thing to know, but I guess Matt, if you did get that information, not to really put you on the spot, but you know, kind of thinking ahead, if you got information like that or diabetes or how would you personally look at using that or, you know, how would you respond to that?
Oh, sure. Yeah. I mean, I think I would definitely, take a look at my current lifestyle and if there's anything that I can do to, at least combat that, you know, make sure that I'm, using that information to, as best as I can, make sure that I'm at least staying ahead of that.
Do you ever find that, you know, some of the genetic tests, do they ever reveal like really any diagnoses that you really consider kind of devastating diagnoses? Like to know you're destined to have Huntington's disease is not a good thing. That's a really bad disease.
That's true. And I don't think that they test for Huntington's disease. Okay. I'm not sure that they test for some of the other conditions that I know are very difficult, like ALS, amyotrophic right. lateral sclerosis, or Lou Gehrig's disease. I think that some of those are excluded. But I think it can be very concerning. So, for example, if you were to find out that you were at an increased risk for a certain cancer condition, you know, what does that mean for you? How reliable is that test result? What should we do with that first? And that can create fear. It can impact your identity, your perspectives of your future, some of those things.
What about the impact on other members of your family then?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And that's another reason that we think it's important to meet with a genetic counselor is because, you know, really when you think about genetic testing, you're testing, the information is for a family. There's rarely a single person who's impacted by a genetic test, especially in this sort of setting. So all of this information that you can get can be useful or impactful in a variety of ways for your family members.
Either positive or negative.
Absolutely.
And then that makes you think, you know, at Thanksgiving, mm-hmm. when I've got all my relatives around, do I reveal to them that
what
this
do you
test,
share?
Right. That this test revealed that our family has a predisposition mm-hmm. for this particular disease that we were not aware of.
Revealed so. That we're all crazy.
How are you doing so far, Matt?
Oh, good. I'm doing good.
You're hanging in there.
Are we overwhelming you? I'm
No. It's great.
But I like your approach though, Matt. You know, it sounds like you really want to look at this as something to empower you and mm-hmm. to really take control of your destiny in a way, rather than saying, hey, this is just what's going to happen and there's nothing I can do about it. So I think that's a great approach.
You understand there's limitations to that. Who, if anybody, are you thinking of sharing this information with? And I understand that may depend on what you get, but have you thought about what you're going to do with it?
Yeah, I mean, definitely my wife and I have talked about, you know, what this could potentially tell us. And so in finding this information, it's going to, you know, reveal some information about myself, things that she might have to deal with in the future. Mm-hmm. Also just things that, you know, could potentially be passed on to our children. So thinking about, like, you know, conversations we're going to have with our kids down the road when they're older. My little girl, she's only 4 right now, so it's mm-hmm. we've got some time. But, you know, and then I think I would probably, I'm pretty close to My brother and I, we've started to, you know, think about these kind of things as we get a little bit older. So I would really have, you know, this conversation with my brother too. What information I find out about this, I will definitely share with him.
Karen, if somebody came to you and expressed the concerns that Matt had, the reasons I should say of wanting to get a genetic test, mm-hmm. would you recommend against a direct consumer test and perhaps a more robust, I mean, is that even such a thing?
Well, so what's different about these consumer-directed tests versus what clinical genetic testing usually does is consumer-directed testing or direct-to-consumer testing, there's small variabilities between the definitions of those terms. Those are really targeted for healthy people. And most genetic testing is in the clinical setting, like in the doctor setting or in one of our patient settings, is targeted to find out the etiology or the cause of a genetic condition in an individual who has some sort of non-healthy or genetic condition, some sort of birth defect or health problem. So we're talking different populations. So I don't know that there would be other ways to pursue this for him if he's an otherwise healthy guy with no family history of, you know, specific genetic condition.
So you typically don't have someone come to see you who just says, hey, I'm a healthy person. I just want to know my genetics. It's more like you said, people who have disease processes or something they want to know more about.
That's what I do in my daily job. Now there's certain, now those we call them adult healthy screens. They're certainly available to individuals all over the place. Their physicians can order them, but that's not what I typically do in the clinical setting.
Okay.
I think that, you know, we don't really recommend this testing simply because of the limitations of the information and people not always understanding what those limitations are. It does sound like you've done a lot of research on your own. You've done a lot of reading. However, it's very important to read those terms of service. One other thing is it's very important to think about the language in this kind of testing. So it's direct-to-consumer testing or consumer-directed testing. These companies are marketing to you as a consumer, not as a patient. And that's very different than the kind of genetic testing that I typically engage in or why genetic testing was even ever created. So think about how you're being marketed to.
Matt, do you have any questions for Karen at this point?
No, not again. Sorry.
That's because we've dumped a bucket of information on him and he's just trying to breathe.
He's going to have
point.
To think about this. I don't know if I want to do this now.
How are you feeling right now, Matt?
No, I'm still feeling pretty good about it.
Oh, great. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. I think this is an interesting conversation. And Karen, if there's additional questions you'd like to ask Matt that you think would be helpful, I would encourage that. If you've reached the limit of those questions for what we're trying to accomplish today, I do have a final question.
No, let's go to you, Scott. What's your last question?
Ultimately, Karen, do you think taking this test is a good idea?
Oh, way to put me on the spot.
That's a loaded question.
Okay.
And this is not a recommendation for or against. Right. This is your opinion
and this is
based
not
on
representative
your expertise.
Of my profession. I personally don't think...
Here's the better. Can I ask you this first?
Oh, no, I already said it. Yeah.
Have you taken the test?
No, and I won't.
There you go.
Why? Do you feel comfortable sharing that?
Sure. I personally don't see the utility in taking the test at this point in my lifetime. I think there's too many limitations in what they're testing for. I don't see any way that would impact me health-wise. I just don't think it's a very good idea.
I
now,
understand
that
completely.
Said, okay,
I don't
want
to take it. Yeah.
My father is this huge genealogy guy, and he's dying for us all to do these ancestry tests. I have three sisters, and I'm very against it, and it kind of breaks his heart a little bit. So,
wow.
But I think he should take it from me that it's not a good idea.
Right.
That's interesting.
Okay, so that's your reason for not taking it. Back to the question, ultimately, do you think taking the test is a good idea? And it sounds like you might have two opinions, professionally.
Yeah, no, they're kind of the same.
Okay.
I just didn't want what I say now to reflect on the entire profession of genetic counselor. So I wanted to reflect Karen Dent's opinion as a person and genetic counselor. I don't think it's a good idea to take the test. I don't think it's going to tell you anything that's going to change your life in a positive way. I have met with friends and family members who've done the testing and found out difficult information, such as what Mitch has found out, exactly potentially what you found out, and others. And it changes a part of their life. It changes something moving forward for them that they can't get back. You know, there's a time where you didn't know, and then there's a time that you know, and it's hard to adjust to that.
And how does that differ from the profession? I got a feeling that you were saying that your opinion might differ from the professional opinion.
Oh, no, I just don't want it to, we don't necessarily have a position statement. I don't know that we have a
position statement. As far as the profession is concerned.
I Genetic counselors in general certainly advocate for informed consent and the informed consent process. We agree with this company that you should definitely talk with a genetic counselor before pursuing this testing and after as well. I'm not trying to promote that. So I was trying to kind of stay away from some of that. So we just want people to go into understanding the benefits, limitations, and risks and be wide-eyed about that.
Yeah, like I said, I am exactly your perspective. I would rather just move forward and just not know what's out there and just do the best I can for my health. And
completely agree.
Yep.
All right, Matt, you and I have a decision to make.
It sounds like you do.
Now, I think the thought when we were planning this episode was at the end of the episode, Matt would go yay or nay. I would go yay or nay. But as we've had this conversation, it's occurring to me that perhaps reflection would be prudent.
Reflection and discussion with family too. Mm-hmm. It sounds like Matt, you're planning to talk with your wife about it and
you
know, consider the, your brother maybe, and consider the implications.
Our producer Mitch over here is cringing because he wants a nice,
that's a nice bow on this episode.
He wants us to say, of course we should all do this, right?
Well, or not. I mean, just, he wants a conclusion to it. And I'm kind of like that too. So Matt, talk to us. Where are you at?
You know, I appreciate hearing all the opinions that have been brought on the table, and I don't know. I just feel like I have given it a lot of thought, and I feel like I do understand that finding out this information and you know, it's something I can't give back, but I feel like it's something that I actually do want to know for multiple reasons. I'm interested in my genealogy as well. That was a small thing that I'd forgotten that actually can be revealed to me. But all the health stuff, I just feel like I want to know so that, I don't know. I know that there are limitations, but I feel like then I can maybe try and do something different. And, you know, I don't know, not that, I don't know. My lifestyle it's pretty straightforward, and not that there would probably be a whole lot of changes, but I think maybe just going on into the future, you know, years and decades down the road, just having that information might be helpful. But I can see how it would be, I don't know, scary too, but I think I'm ready.
Okay. It's definitely a personal decision.
Yeah. It is. But I think Matt is about as informed a consumer as there has ever been in the history of this test.
I completely agree. I was nodding the whole time you were talking. I feel like, you know, you have examined all of the potential issues for this test, what it may reveal to you, what it may not. You understand that there are limitations. You have thought clearly about what you're going to do with the information, who you are and aren't going to share it with. And you've also thought about what you would do should you receive something unanticipated and unexpected. And that's about as informed as you can be going into this.
Exactly.
So good for you, Matt.
Oh, all right, great. Matt, congratulations. We'll mail you the test.
Congratulations, Matt. Yeah. Excited for you, man.
Which, you know, also now gives you additional time to consider, right? Because that probably would be a good thing.
Yeah.
Where am I at? Like in my brain, before this conversation, I was telling myself that I also understand the limitations and whatnot. And I think I'm the type of person that could get this information and go, all right, well, that's interesting, and then move forward. But then you kept saying, like, you just can't unknow it.
You can't unknow it.
That's actually something that people don't always think about ahead of time, because a lot of people will tell you, if I just hadn't looked at this, and you will lose that option.
Yeah. So you've had people tell you that.
Yes.
So you have definitely seen people with regret and wish they hadn't seen it.
Have you seen people that were happy they did it?
Yes. But those are people that haven't received results that could potentially be life-changing.
Yeah,
I've also seen people who, again, don't understand the limitations of it. I mean, I've seen people that said, oh, it told me I have Jewish ancestry, so that's wrong. You know, so that's there. You know, people don't always understand that that's probably not wrong.
Right.
You know?
Interesting.
I'm not going to do it.
You're not going to do it?
As of right now, I'm not going
to
do it.
Wow. So do we have to do this contest all over again?
Yeah, maybe I have to find somebody else to give this second test to. But
so you just made that decision.
I just made that decision.
Discussion.
Yeah.
Let me add one thing.
Like I said, I fully support you. I wanted to do it.
I would support you either way. One thing that is very important about your genetics is they don't change. So if you don't want to do the test today, but you want to in 5 years, that's fine too. You are not missing an opportunity to find out information only available today.
Which is brilliant, because that's how I judge purchasing things in my life. Like I'm like, boy, I'd really like to have this new car, but if I don't buy it today and wait a year, will I regret that? No, I won't.
Still buy it.
I can still buy it. So yeah, that's good. Matt, it's been wonderful having you on the show. Congratulations. We will get that test in the mail to you. And, I hope that it's good news.
Yeah. And if you have any friends, it sounds like Scott's is available as well now. So I can send you two tests.
Matt, thanks for listening and thanks for caring about men's health.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, Matt.
Yeah. Thank you so much.
All right. That was cool. I would say that was a success. Matt was a great guest.
He was. It was great. You know, he sounds like he knows what he's getting into. He was fun to talk to.
I felt like he was one of the more informed consumers pursuing this testing because he has thought about what it might mean for him, what he would do with it, who he's going to share it with. And so you guys kind of perked up when I said something like, you know, he seems more informed than the person that sends out six to their kids at Christmas, and then at Christmas dinner, everyone spits in a tube and mails it off without having really had time to think about potential consequences, good or not so good, of that information.
And I imagine in that situation, there's a certain amount of peer pressure or family pressure too. It's like, hey, exactly. Dad gave us all this, you know, this test. He spent $100 each on these tests. Right. I feel obligated to do it. All my siblings are doing it. It's a gift.
Right.
Everybody's in their matching pajamas. Yeah. They're matching Christmas.
Let's not let Dad down. You know? Right.
Let's do this before Christmas dinner.
All spit in a cup.
Exactly. I mean, like you said, I can't imagine anyone being more informed as to what they're getting into than he is at this point. And he clearly had thought about this before this episode. And I think,
absolutely,
you know, we went over this with him and it wasn't a huge surprise to him. Maybe some of the language is very, you know, pretty heavy language, but wasn't a real surprise to him what he's getting into with this.
Yeah. I was shocked with the language in the terms of service. It's very pointed.
Yeah. I was actually as a genetic counselor, I was impressed with the language because one thing that we are always concerned about on the professional level is are people walking into this understanding that there are psychosocial impacts, negative and positive psychosocial consequences, I would say, of this information. And they actually did a good job stating how, you know, this is information that can be life-changing. I can't remember their exact language, but I remember thinking it was worded strongly.
Yeah, but they used the language. Didn't they say you can't unknow this information? They actually used that exact word, which is a very powerful thing. It's like things you can't unsee. Like if you see a horrible car accident or you just see some devastating event, you can't unsee it. You can't unknow this. It's there. You can't forget it.
Right. And, you know, depending on your personality, do you perseverate on those sorts of things? You know, and so if you found out a genetic a testing result that puts you in a predisposition for some sort of significant condition, how would that change your day-to-day life? You know, and for how long? How would you handle that? And I think people don't always think about that. He has. And so I was impressed by the thought that he has put into this.
And Scott, it's clear that it sounds like this was a pretty spontaneous decision you made that you weren't going to do this. You were kind of on the fence. Something about this clearly got to you.
Going in, I thought I would do it.
Yeah.
Because I thought I could handle it.
Was it the fact that Karen said she wouldn't do it or just?
I don't know what it was. I just, like I said, I thought I could handle it. I thought, you know what, if I do learn about that, because we talk on this podcast about how our lifestyle choices are crucially important, right? Mm-hmm. And I also know my family history and we're pretty good lineage. There's not a lot of instances of cancer, if any, in my family or any sort of disease. So I guess I was taking that to mean when I get this test back, I'm probably not going to find out anything too crazy, right? So I there's a certain amount of guarantee in my mind that the results are not going to really reveal something. Mitch, you disagree? You
think there's going to be something? Mitch is the proponent.
Well, no, it's just really interesting to hear that because when the thing that perked me up is when you said, I know my family history. And one of the reasons I took it is I don't. I have a family who does not talk, does not share, and we have genetic issues. We know them. I was born with some of them. And so for me, taking the test was, I might need to know this information, but it's the only way I'm going to.
But that's a very reasonable approach. And again, that's an informed decision. One of the caveats of my job is to promote informed decision making. And you made that with the idea that this could be helpful for you because you didn't know anything anyway. You know, so you didn't have something to change even. It was going to be new information. Scott, I got a little bit worried when you said, I expect mine to be fine because I don't have anything. And that's...
I'm going to be disappointed, Scott, basically.
Those are sometimes... And a lot of people go into it and that's optimistic and that's wonderful. But that can also mean that if something did show up, it catches you that much more off guard. And so it's a little bit more difficult to deal with.
Yeah.
I know you've got an older brother. Has he taken the test?
Not that I'm aware of.
And he certainly hasn't told you. And you didn't talk to him about the possibility of you taking the test either.
No.
Okay.
No. And actually, it meant, yeah, yeah. So, that, you know, there are a few family things that I do know about, I guess. And you know,
and whether they they show up.
Yeah.
Right.
And then the other thing I was like, well, if something does show up, like I said, I thought I could handle it. I'm just going, well, it's just, that is what it is. It may or may not come up. I try to lead as healthy of a lifestyle as possible. We do know that activity and food and sleep and mental health, you know, all can impact disease states. So even Absolutely. If it does report something, you know, I'm trying to take the right steps. And maybe that would just be one more reason why I would be dedicated to those behaviors.
Exactly. It might just reinforce that, you know, and that would be great.
Yeah. And I think my personality type is the type that I would tell that story to myself, as uh-huh. opposed to the other story I could tell myself, which is, this is inevitable. It's the ghost of Christmas future. This is my path. There's nothing I can do about it now.
Genetic destiny.
Yep. Now I'm going to just, well, I just as well, you know, mm-hmm. love, drink, be merry, eat, you know, fatty foods.
Sure. So what about this then exactly? What talked you out of it?
So ultimately, why am I doing it? I thought it'd be kind of fun to know my lineage, but at the end of the day, I've never really cared about it before. So why do I care about it now? I think maybe the trendy thing was part of mm-hmm. what was driving that a little bit as well.
Okay. And everyone's doing it. I should too, maybe.
And now I'm kind of thinking, well, you know, maybe I don't have to do that.
Huh. Yeah.
Yeah. And your point was great too. In 5 years, maybe I might want to.
There's no always rush, make a decision. Even, change my exactly. mind. Yeah.
So, it's not like it's a limited time only
it's
offer.
It's not like it's a lab value, like a chemical level in your blood, you know, that's going to go away and 48 hours or something. Yeah. This is going to be here for a while.
And that's great information. I think if you're on the fence, again, that statement, you can't unknow it, is worth considering. And if you don't want to know it and there's stuff you just are not ready to know right now, there's no rush to do it.
Absolutely.
It'll be there in 5 years and it'll probably be cheaper.
Let's face it. And more informative, perhaps.
Maybe more informative.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe a better test.
Absolutely.
Yep, exactly. All right, Karen, thank you so much.
Thank you. This was really fun. Thanks, you guys.
Time for Just Gonna Leave This Here. It might have something to do with health. It might be something completely random. Who knows? That's the brilliance of Just Gonna Leave This Here.
The beauty of it. The art of it.
Troy, Just Gonna Leave This Here. I want you to diagnose this.
Oh, so this sounds kind of aggressive. Medical.
Yeah.
Great.
So went to Crystal Hot Springs. Crystal Hot Springs is a natural hot springs where the water is, they've got different pools and the water is, you know, pretty warm. I don't know, 100 degrees.
Yeah, some are hotter than others. Yeah, they get up to like 105, 106.
So went up there to check that out, and it's also high mineral content, so you can float on your back in the water like really easily.
Mm-hmm.
So my wife was like, hey, try it, you know, and I have a thing about getting water in my ears. I don't like getting water in my ears, but I did it anyway because my wife is new. So I came up and like my hearing was different after that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So at first I'm like, well, maybe it's just the water hasn't cleared out.
Mm.
So the water finally cleared out of my left ear, but my right ear just never went back to hearing the same. Like I could notably tell that my right ear was not hearing as well.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think happened to me?
What do I think happened?
I have the
You're
answer.
You're not having drainage out of your ear, are you?
No, no drainage.
I was worried about what's called otitis externa or swimmer's ear.
Nope,
we're
no
actually
drainage.
An infection there. Nothing like that.
Nope.
It's probably more just a blocked eustachian tube, that tube that feeds from the inside of your ear down to your throat. And maybe there's some inflammation from the water. Maybe it's like a cold that's kind of irritated it. Often that's what causes that plugged feeling.
Earwax.
Well, that would do it too. I have no idea what that has to do with being in Crystal / Madison Hot Springs, but...
I have to believe what happened was because I had this happen to me one other time. So I took a nap during the summer, woke up, one of my ears, now I can't hear.
Huh.
And it was the same thing. And the doctor, both cases, thought it just got just warm enough.
Yeah.
That it then just slid down.
Melted it and slid in there.
And completely, I had like a half a candy corn of earwax that they pulled out. And have you ever seen that process? They squirt water in your ear.
Have I seen that process?
And my front of my shirt was soaked.
Yeah.
But I can now hear again.
I had a guy the other day, we did that, squirted. It was so rewarding. He came in saying, I can't hear out of my ear. And we irrigated it. It was this big old plug of wax that came out, probably like something you saw. And he said, you fixed me. It's like, yeah, we actually fixed something. It's so rewarding.
I'll tell you, it was rewarding because I went into the physician. I had a problem. They looked in my ear almost immediately, went, yep, it's earwax.
Yeah.
And I went home, you know, problem solved. It was great.
I feel like I need to get my ears looked at now. Like I have this chronic issue with my left ear always feels plugged.
Mineral oil, I was told.
Mineral oil.
For earwax issues. Just a couple drops every month.
Interesting. There's also a product named Debrox, Debrox. That also kind of loosens up earwax.
Hmm.
Just going to leave that there.
Okay.
That's why I'm just going to leave it here. No. Am I just going to leave it here is, you know, you don't experience this because you have a beard. You do not shave, but you've been clean shaved before.
I came out like this.
You came out with that beard.
No, I've been clean shaved before, yeah.
Yeah, well, look at my face. Look what I've got here.
You got a scratch.
I know. I cut myself shaving. It's like shaving is such a cool thing when you're a teenager and you first start to shave and you're buying razors. I'm now at the point where I just keep cutting myself. And I go through phases where I use an electric razor, but I just like using a blade better. Am I just going to leave it here? Is what a pain shaving is. Like, I'm just going to go get some laser hair removal.
Yeah.
Just like completely remove all my facial hair so I never have to shave again.
All right, time to say the things that you say at the end of podcasts, because we're at the end of ours. Thank you very much for listening. If you want to reach out, it's so easy to do. A couple ways. You can email us at hello@thescoperadio.com, or you can go online.
Yeah, check us out, facebook.com/whocaresmenshealth. Also, whocaresmenshealth.com. Subscribe anywhere you subscribe to podcasts. And thanks for listening, and thanks for caring about men's health.